The phone call came late, and every pastor knows what that means. The voice at the other end was both frantic and forlorn. I recognized my parishioner immediately, calling me with news about her niece. "She's lost another baby," she said. "A miscarriage?" I replied, fearing something even worse. "No, the little boy is dead in her womb. She is 6 months along. They will induce labor in the morning, and she wants you to baptize the baby." She gave me the room number, and I repeated it back because by then she had started to cry. It was the mother's second stillbirth, both boys. I had performed a kind of funeral service for the first one, an early miscarriage, and then she'd had two healthy girls. Now a second boy had died in her womb, this one a viable fetus. Apparently, in some rare instances, the presence of a Y chromosome causes the mother's body to reject the fetus as it would a foreign object. Who knows why? Whoever knows why. But as I put on my shoes and walked out to my car, I knew that was exactly what the mother would ask me. Why? I'm a preacher. I don't often find myself at a loss for words, but there are some important things they don't teach you in seminary. For starters, no one taught me how to baptize a dead baby. To be honest, no one taught me how to baptize a living one either, but you figure these things out. You dip your fingers in the font, make the sign of the cross on the baby's forehead, and recite the baptismal formula. Then you do the most important thing, you pose for family photos. Chances are no one remembers what you said anyway, but one thing is certain, it is a joyful occasion. I have always taken the infant in my arms and spoken to the child, letting the parents and the congregation overhear. But on this day, there would be no adoring congregation, no flowers, and no sunlight streaming into the sanctuary. Nothing I had said before would work. This mother was about to deliver a tiny corpse. She would never nurse it or rock it to sleep, never hold its warm and scented head against her cheek. What was I supposed to say when I walked into the room? "Got any ideas, Reverend? Remember, you represent a God of love and justice." The mother asked that I come after the delivery so that a photographer could take pictures of her dead son to share on Facebook. I was having a hard time imagining this, but it is not my job to judge what brings comfort, only to bring more. I rehearsed some lines in the hospital elevator, but they all sounded hollow. "Will she want a baptismal certificate?" I wondered. "Of course she will, and you forgot to bring one." I made a note to fill it out later using the full given name of the deceased. At least I remembered to bring the chalice to hold the water. It was the same silver bowl that I have used for all the baptisms I've performed over 35 years serving the same church. It was also the same chalice I had used to baptize the mother. When I opened the door, she looked up and recognized it immediately. "Oh, good, you brought the chalice." I stepped into the room and looked into a tiny crib next to her bed. There he was, smaller than a doll and dark purple, the color of eggplant. He looked like a tiny wax figure, dressed in a tiny baptismal outfit with a tiny crocheted stocking cap on his head. "Isn't he beautiful?" she said. "Isn't he perfect?" I decided that silence was the best response, but that silence became unbearable for the mother's father. Standing near the foot of the bed, he made a crude political joke about Hillary Clinton. I did not laugh. Why is it that human beings have so much trouble with silence? I wondered. Isn't that the only response to such a moment? The baby's father was also in the room, his head cupped in his hands, a second stillborn son. In his mind, he had already signed the boy up for Little League. At that point, I did something I had never done before. I picked up the chalice and asked for the full given name of a dead baby. In unison, Mom and Dad spoke his first, middle, and last names. I dipped my fingers into the chalice, filled out of habit with warm water, because that's what living babies prefer. I then pushed up the tiny stocking cap and placed my fingers on the baby's cold, lifeless forehead. My fingers traced the sign of the cross on inert flesh. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I looked up, I saw the grandfather crying. This was no joke.